What a joy it is to be back together at Faith Baptist Church. It's such a blessing. Somebody used the phrase this morning with me, it's like time travel. It's such a blessing to be back here and see this church, the faithfulness. We pray the Lord's blessings upon this church and the preaching of His Word as it goes forth this morning. Bow with me, if you would, in prayer before we get into the message. Father, we're so thankful that we can be here. We don't take that for granted because we recognize there are so many forces at work that would love to make it so that we can't be here. Because of we know what the importance is of the going forth of your word and the public proclamation of truth. And we recognize, at least in part, how important that is, and certainly we know it's commanded in your word, and so the fact that we can meet here, we're thankful for it. The fact that we can gather together with old friends, we're thankful for it. The fact that we can see folks that have made their way to this building now for decades and continue to do so, we're thankful for that. And we pray, Lord, that your Spirit would meet with us, that your Spirit would touch my mind and my lips. As your word goes forth, that you would temper it, that you would cause it to go forth with the exact right tone and attitude that you would have. And I pray for prepared hearts to hear your word, and that each one of us, myself included, would make application. And we thank you for that in the name of Christ. Amen. We've looked at trying to see the Lord clearly. We know from the scriptures, and I took you to several scriptures last night, that the Bible is very plain. Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. He is the risen and present King. All men, all of mankind, are subject to His judgment. We are all duty bound to serve Him. We are created and given life so that we may serve God. Serve the Lord. And that's our first and primary purpose for having been given breath. And yet the natural man does what Pharaoh demonstrated last night that we read, and Pharaoh articulated this mindset. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Pharaoh's only saying what many people in this world are thinking, and also saying. Perhaps you ask that question. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? Maybe some grapple with that. Maybe some even comes alongside of that individual like Pharaoh, or the mindset that Pharaoh had last night, and some comes alongside that individual and convinces Pharaoh, or convinces one of the same mindset. Yeah, I should serve the Lord, because if I don't, it's going to be bad for me someday. And in that attitude, some try to force themselves into some religious activity that they really don't want to do anyway. But out of selfishness, oh, I ought to serve the Lord. I guess I probably ought to do some religious stuff. And even that is done for selfish motives, because I really don't want to. I just know that I ought to. And it'll be better for me if I do. So even this he does with an this person, in, like Pharaoh, would do with an absolute wrong motive. And our brother said this morning, if it's going to be service that the Lord accepts, it's going to have to be done in spirit and in truth. It's going to have to be done acceptably, with humble reverence before God, realizing who He is, and our duty to honor Him. But then the individual that's been touched by the grace of God, the individual that sees the Lord not only as the risen Lord and Savior, but sees Him personally as my Savior, that person serves the Lord with a renewed and clear vision. My duty is to honor Him. My duty is to bring praise to Him, and I want to because He saved me. I want to because He redeemed me. And so at that point, that person is not then serving the Lord selfishly, but selflessly, surrendering his own will to the Lord's, and gladly so. Most lost people think, that if I serve the Lord and I get to the place where I feel like I must, it's going to be drudgery. Life's not going to be any fun after I have to get religious. I'm telling you, it's just the opposite. It is absolutely just the opposite. Turn with me to Psalm 18. With the Lord's help this morning, I want to encourage you and help you to be able to see the Lord, my safe place. The Lord, my safe place in Psalm 18. We could go on, and at our home church we've studied for months the sovereignty of God and that God is able, that Jesus is Lord, and that He is God in the flesh. We could go on and give you the credentials of God, but you know them. He is able. And the psalmist finds himself in a place where he says in verse 2, and I just want to read this and then I want to get some context. He says in verse 2, Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower." We want to look at this verse, and we'll come back and take it nearly word for word. But I want to demonstrate to you this morning that for the person that sees the Lord clearly, and for the person that sees the Lord as Savior, he finds himself in a wonderful place. He finds himself, or she finds herself, in this incredibly blessed place. Just the opposite of what the natural mind thinks. Just the opposite of what the mindset of Pharaoh had demonstrated. Who is the Lord that I should serve Him, obey Him? You'll find in the text of the Word of God that these men and women of God serve the Lord gladly, thankfully, selflessly. And so today we want to look at how this text describes, how David describes this relationship that he had with the Lord. And he found in the Lord, not the concept of God generally speaking, but in the Lord, the person of Christ. We see this in the word Lord is in all capital letters in verse 2 there. We know that is representing Jehovah God, the covenant-keeping God, the God that keeps His word. And He's always keeping His word. And He's able to keep His word. Let's look at some of the context of how David got to the place where he is able to articulate verse 2. David, the king of Israel, has had his share of battles. We're all very familiar with the account of him and Goliath. And the battles that David has been in and through and survived. And David had a lot of, shall we say, palace intrigue. There was a lot of drama going on in his own household, some of that because of his own making. But David had enemies. David had many that he would have been in battle with. And God had delivered him from so much. Maybe you have some battles. Probably not the same kind of battles that King David had, but battles nonetheless that are very real. And maybe by experience that you've gone through and had victories that God has granted, you have found in him also a safe place. They talk about safe places today. And by that, they almost mean a padded room where there can be nothing that troubles an individual. The exact opposite of what is healthy and helpful. Because David wasn't in that kind of an environment where nothing threatened him. David had literal threats on every hand. And by the grace of God, by the power of God, he was victorious over those things. And he found then in God, specifically in Jehovah the Lord, his safe place. So I want to read a couple of verses to get some context here. Verses 7 and 8. I'm sorry, verses 4 through 6 first. The sorrows of death compass me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. This is real. This is not hyperbole. This is a man that people are trying to kill. The sorrows of death compassed me. The floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord. Now see, he had the right response. He had the right vision to be able to call upon the Lord. I cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple. And my cry came before him, even into his ears. And so we know from verse 6 that David is describing. He heard me. I looked to him. I turned to him and he heard me. He's a living Lord that hears and cares and is able. And he heard my cry. I am unworthy to approach the throne, but he heard me. I am unworthy to be heard of sovereign God, but he heard me. And he answered my prayer. The earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. God began to act. There was a smoke that went up out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. God, in his anger, began to move. And in the world of David, it was as if the whole earth shook as God began to take notice of what was going on. Jump down to verses 16 through 19 for time's sake. He sent from above and took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy. And from them that which hated me. For they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. David had some clear vision. And one of the points that I want to reiterate that, that is so, I think, incredibly valuable is that he got there through the trial, not by being sheltered from the trial, but he got there as the Lord walked with him through the trial. I think that's very important. I think there's a generation today that view that exactly opposite. And it's not healthy. It's not helpful. It's not born out of clear vision. They do everything but turn to the Lord. Turn to everything else, but don't turn to the Lord. And I want to present to you this morning the blessing of being able to know the Lord. He is my safe place. He is my safe place. So back to verses 1 through 3. Well, of course, we'll focus on verse 2. David's love and devotion is wholly given to the covenant-keeping God. Verse 1, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. I know I'm not my own strength. You know how you can prove that you're not your own strength? You command your heart to beat one more time than God says it's going to beat. It's not going to beat. You don't have the strength to make your heart beat one more time. I don't have the strength to. I won't say who it was, Andy. But he said to me, you're 60? Yeah, okay. I didn't die young. I'm 60. I don't know how that happened. Other than this, the Lord said, let him continue to have life. That's the only reason. And you're here today because the Lord gave you life. You're here today because the Lord gave you breath. You're here today because the Lord gave you ability, health and ability and strength to be in God's house. Otherwise, you couldn't be here. And yet, men and women like Pharaoh today say, who is the Lord that I should serve and obey him? I want to present to you the Lord, my safe place, David's safe place. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The older I get, the more I do realize that he is my strength. The Lord is my rock. We're going to take these and just work our way through them. And again, I want to emphasize, I'm talking about a person, right? I'm not talking about the concept of God abstractly. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, my Savior. I believe that it's fitting to say the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. And when we're talking about, when you're talking about God, we realize Jesus is God. And he is, David says, and I can reiterate, he is my rock. The situation may be unstable. The situation in your personal life, the situation in your professional life, the situation in this country, whatever situation you want to talk about, it may be unstable. It more than may be unstable, it is unstable. But he's my rock. He's my safe place, my strong place, my solid place. There's no way can he be pushed out of the way or tipped over. He's my rock. He's my foundation. I'm a builder by trade before the Lord called me to preach. And I just looked around and enjoyed the building that has been here since I was a member here. that has been added since I was a member here. And it's a solid structure. And my dad was a bricklayer, so I was eyeing the brickwork and looking at the handiwork of the mason. And it's solid. And it's stable. He said, the Lord's my rock. It's solid and stable. It's my foundation. You can build something there. You don't build on sinking sand. You build on something solid. People today are trying to build their lives on sinking sand. People today are trying to build their lives on things that are fleeting. David said, the Lord's my rock. He's my solid place. He's my foundation. And keep thinking through this. As we look at David's description, how that the natural man tends to think, if I feel compelled to serve God, it's going to be drudgery, it's going to be boring, that's going to be the end of fun for me, that's going to be the end of joy in my existence. Just the opposite. If you hear and read and see what David is saying here, he's satisfied, he's content, he's joyful, he's fulfilled, his life has purpose and meaning, and all of it's there because he sees the Lord as his rock, his Lord and Savior, because he finds in him a safe place. It's the result. The Lord is my rock, verse 2. He's personally resting upon him. He's personally resting upon that solid foundation, and then he begins to build. I love going back and reading, and especially starting with the account of David and his pursuit, not really pursuit, but his injecting himself into the equation when Goliath had the armies of Israel at bay. And David goes in there, and his brothers say, "What are you doing? Where are those little sheepies that Daddy left you with? And what do you think you're doing over here? You're just being nosy." And he says, "Is there not a cause? That man is defying the armies of Israel. That man is defying the God of Israel. There's a cause. And I'm going to stop it with the hand of God, with the strength and power of God. Let's get this over with." And you can see God working through David. You can see David and the strength. And the strength that he, let's say, accumulates as he has experiences with God. He said, and that came from his strength that he accumulated as a shepherd. The lion and the bear came, I took care of them. This giant's going to be just like them. And David has grown into this strong individual, not strong in himself, strong in the Lord. And he's resting on the rock. So he goes on to say, and I got to get moving. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. Outside of this, he's vulnerable. Outside of the Lord, he's vulnerable. He's defenseless. The fortress gives him that fortified place. Inside, he's safe. Nothing can penetrate this fortress. In the military of David's day, of any day, you would build a fortress and they would figure out how to build something big enough to break that fortress. And then they would figure out how to build a stronger fortress and they would figure out how to build something stronger to break that fortress. And it was just this vicious cycle. Now we have all kinds of munitions that can these bunker-busting bombs that can do unbelievably much damage down in the ground, and all these different things that the fortress that men can create is ultimately penetrable, always. The fortresses you try to build in your life, maybe you try to build a fortress with success or money. Maybe you try to build a fortress in gratifying your own flesh. And here's my place where I'm happy and safe and content. It's not going to work. That fortress can be penetrated, and it doesn't deliver what it pretends to deliver. This fortress is the Lord, the creator of the universe, the sovereign of the universe. This fortress you can't penetrate. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. You read especially the latter portions of Romans chapter 8. There's nothing that can separate God's people from the effect of God's love. And the effect of God's love is the Lord Jesus Christ and His power to save. And nothing can separate you from that. David says, He's my safe place. He's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. Military man writes in military terms. Military man has at times had victory in battle, and at times maybe not so much victory in some of the battles. But he describes this as being the Lord being his, now in this third word, the deliverer. On our own we can be overrun. In our own strength we can be overrun. But in Him, you can't be overrun. You'll be delivered in the Lord Jesus Christ. No power on earth can thwart the deliverance that God provides. And the first thing you and I need deliverance from is ourselves. We need deliverance from this old flesh. We need deliverance from our earthly thinking. We need deliverance from our thought patterns that mimic Pharaoh, who is the Lord. And here's the problem. I, in and of myself, I can't deliver myself from those things. I may temper them. I may put on airs that makes it look like I've changed some lifestyle choices and attitudes. But ultimately, the only deliverance I found is in the Lord Jesus Christ and His power to save. And reading the Scriptures, I'm confident that is the only possible means of eternal deliverance. It's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And David said, the Lord's my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God. He's my God. Amen. This afternoon, the Lord willing, unless the Lord changes my thought process, among the gods, there's none like unto thee. We'll look at that from Psalm 86. My God. You know, what is it that you've made your sovereign? What is it that you have put all your hope in? What is it that you have said, in Him I will trust? David said, it's Him. Not my strength, not my military, not my posse, you know, not the armies around me. God. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God. He's my safe place. He's my strength. The next word we'll look at, he's my strength. The enemy is strong. You read in the Word of God, the adversary. Adversaries of God are strong, no doubt about it. The adversaries of God, the adversaries of David, rather, were strong. There would have been, you can read the accounts of some of the times that David had to do some pretty ingenious and wild and crazy things to escape from being found out, being caught, being killed. And he recognizes, even in those things where that he might look at his actions and boast and say, look at how ingenious I was. I got out of that one. I looked like I was crazy and got out of that one. Military might, I got out of that one. He said, no, he's my strength. He's my strength. The enemy is strong, God's stronger. Power that we wrestle against is not flesh and blood, Paul says, but principalities and powers, and they are strong. Amen. God is stronger. Amen. We can read the book of Job and we can see how the adversary looks at Job and says, you only serve God because God's blessed you. And I can prove it, because I'll take God's blessings away from you and you'll curse God. Satan had to ask for permission. And God had to grant permission before Satan could touch him. And then God set parameters on the permission that he granted. God's stronger. And that's my safe place. He is my safe place. He's my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God. He's my strength. In whom I will trust. Again, these are overlapping. I get it. I understand it. But it has such a multiplicity of meaning and definition that it just gives such a vibrant picture. It covers all the bases. Here he says, it's in him I will trust. Like over in Psalm 20, he says some... Well, it's right here. Rather than try to quote it and get it wrong, Psalm 20, 6 through 9, or 7, 6 through 9. I know that, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear from him his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand, and some trust in chariots. This is the part that I wanted to get to. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Man has a tendency to trust in the working of man. Man has a tendency to trust in the strength of man. Man has a tendency to trust in the ingenuity of man. And those things can be powerful. God has given creativeness and wonderful ingenuity, that the things that man has created is amazing. But don't make those things your trust. Don't make those things your confidence. David is saying, compared to Psalm 20 to Psalm 18, I can trust my armies. We've got state-of-the-art arrows. The way that our craftsmen are now building bows, we can shoot twice as far as the enemies. Our Our craftsmen have come up with swords that are lighter and sharper and stay sharp longer. And David could say, we can boast in all of those things. Some trust in those things. What is it that you lay your confidence in? As you think of the battles that you face, as you think of being prepared to stand before the Lord, what is it that you put your confidence in? What is it that you put your hopes and trust in? I mean, if you're hoping and trusting that this just God's not real, that there is no that day reckoning, the sun, well, you can't tell it, but this another day started and the sun came up this morning and he's real. The earth is still moving and everything is still, the atmosphere is still the same and everything is functioning just the way that he wants it to. And gravitation is happening and orbits are happening and everything is continuing and another day started. God's real. If you're hoping he's not real, that's not going to pan out really well. If you're hoping that in your own strength you can stand before him, the Bible tells us that's not going to work out very well. Because all of our own righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Stack them all up together, it's not going to be enough. David says, in him I'll trust. He's my safe place. And then I like some of these towards the end of this. He's my buckler. Today we would say shield. And that's a personal defense. I like the personal nature of this. There's the fortress, right? And we'll see in a minute the high tower. There's those general fortified places. But he's my shield. He's my safe place. And again, a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my safe place. It's within, you read the writing of Paul, and he loves the phrase, in him. In him we have this. In him we find this. In him I find a safe place. And here described in Psalm 18, he's my shield. We have this picture of the. I was looking in verse 2 for the word shield, and it wasn't there. And it's buckler. I forgot that it threw me off for a second. So this buckler, this shield, it's a personal defense. But this one's not made by the craftsman. This one's the Lord. And he pictures the Lord as his personal shield. Those forces that try to attack him, those things that try to undermine him, those things that try to take his life, the shield's there. My Lord. And do you sense in this verse that he's content and he's stable and he's loving it. He's not serving the Lord out of necessity. Oh, I have to, so I will. He's absolutely thrilled. The Lord, the God of the universe, is my shield. He's mine. He's my safe place. And I love it. Absolutely nothing. And again, Job is a good illustration of that. Only thing Satan could do to Job is what God allowed. And Job said in chapter 6 and verse 4, the arrows of the Almighty are within me. He knew that it was God. Ultimately, that either caused it or allowed it. He knew that. The arrows of the Almighty are within me. God's my shield. The Lord Jesus Christ is my shield. or stated in verse 2, the buckler. The horn of my salvation. There's some supposition as to what he meant by that. Most, I guess, take it as like the animal with horns that drives away the adversary. We've all seen in the wild settings those animals that would have their horns and drive away their adversaries. And he said, that's another picture of what the Lord has done for me. It's the horn of my salvation. And I love this. He's my high tower. The high tower puts him above the danger with a vantage point where he can see clearly what's going on below, but from a place of safety. I was reading, and one commentary described this high tower as having a stairwell and a ladder type affair that goes up through just a hatch that's only large enough for one person at a time. And so men within the city could get up into this high portion of the high tower, and if the city became overrun and the opposing forces would try to get up into the high tower, they had this really serious problem because there was only this one little hatch the size of one person. And so every opposing person that tried to come up through the hatch to reach the higher portions of this high tower, he was defenseless. He was crawling up through this little hatch, and the military in the top of the tower could easily take care of one at a time, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And they could never overrun the high portion of this tower because they could only come up through this one little hatch one at a time. And so it was just virtually impenetrable. And he said, that's the Lord. They may come in waves. They may come one right after another. I'm standing here in this high tower. I have a vantage point that's clear. I am safe. I can take care of the enemies by the grace of God, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. And he said, that's my safe place. When the people of God see clearly God, who He is, the sovereign of the universe, they can find in him a safe place. David did. Not outside of the realm of adversity, but through it. By experiencing adversity with the Lord as his shield. And his high tower. And so on and so on. And this brings to the child of God calm. People of the world are kind of going crazy. Chase this, worry about that, go out of their minds about this problem or that problem. That ought not to be the people of God. Amen. He's my safe place. David here just so vividly demonstrates calm, confidence, peace, order. In the chaos of battle, there's disorder. Many, many times. In the chaos of the lives of lost men and women, there's so many times so much disorder and unrest and fretting. David says, the Lord's my safe place. I don't have any of those things. He's in charge. He's got this. And without that perspective, chaos. Without that perspective and vision, clear vision, disorder. And so what a blessing it is to be able to say, the Lord is my safe place. And that only starts, that personal relationship can only be established when one is fully resting in the Lord, fully trusting in Him. For one who has been brought to repentance before God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they find themselves wholly submitted to God. But don't take that as a negative. Don't take that as drudgery. It's anything but. That's really living. My safe place is the Lord Jesus Christ. I can be like the psalmist and say, oh, taste and see. For it has been 42 years since the Lord saved me and revealed Himself to me as this safe place. And He's never let me down. And I am unworthy of His first touch, but I'm unworthy of the least of His blessings. But He has blessed me abundantly. And He is my safe place. And I hold Him up before you today and say, trust Him. He is a safe place that will not let you down.